our preacher for today. His name is Pastor Daniel. Let's give him a warm applause. Yeah. And our usual tradition, I'll just ask a few questions, like what is his favorite food and all that kind of really lame questions. But Pastor Daniel, how long have you been a pastor?
How long? 40 years.
40 years, wow. And this is your church, right? D-U-M-C. What is Damansara Utama? What does it mean?
It's an area called Damansara Utama. So it's Damansara Utama Methodist Church.
I see.
Okay, or definitely unusual Methodist Church.
Or under what?
Don't underestimate
Methodist Church. Yeah. Okay. Pastor Daniel, I understand you are now, you have retired.
Yes.
And now you are visiting the world, traveling. What kind of message do you bring to around the world?
Well, different messages. It depends on the congregation, their needs, that kind of thing. So I try to sense what is happening with them, that kind of thing, and just speak a word.
What is your greatest passion? What is your passion, other than Jesus Christ? What is the message?
My passion is about evangelism, reaching out to share Jesus with as many people as possible. Yeah, that's my burden in my heart.
Wonderful. I understand you also have a relative staying in Singapore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You are married. Tell me about your family.
Yeah, with just one son, Matthew. Our son is 39 this year, 2 grandchildren.
Wow, congratulations. So, okay, the last most important question. What's your favorite food?
Favorite food. Okay, laksa.
Which is better, Singapore laksa or Malaysia laksa?
Okay. Wow. I'll reserve that. I'll reserve that. Honestly, I got stones been thrown at me. Okay, afterwards. But good morning, all of you. Okay, all right. Good to see you. Say to your neighbor, you look very good this morning or this afternoon now. Okay, would you do that? It's great. It's just wonderful to be with you all here. I feel very relaxed. I like it okay to be like that. Because people come to my church and say, is your church quiet or not? I say, then you're looking for a cemetery, okay? Because the church is a nursery. Can I hear amen for that, isn't it? Because there's life, there is laughter, there's fun, there is joy, there's celebration, there's even crying as well, isn't it? In fact, in the days of Jesus, besides all these, there's even smells. Am I right? Because they bring animals along to sacrifice in a temple, isn't it? All right? So welcome to this 11:30 service where there's, okay, except for the smells. It has been very, very good. Can a good amen for that?
Amen.
Okay? The more amen you say, my preaching gets better and better. Okay? Amen. That's great. Okay. All right? Now, what happens is whenever I preach in my church and when Bible verses are projected on the screen, I get everybody to read aloud with me together. You know why I do that? Because sometimes it's the only time to read a Bible in a whole week. Okay? Say to your neighbor, he's not talking about you. Okay? I know St. Andrew's people cannot wait to read, dying to read the Bible. Can a good amen for that? Okay. All right. Why don't we stand and read aloud in our strongest, robust voices together from Matthew, right? Chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. Okay? All right. Come together in our loudest voices together. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Lord, we ask that you, by your Spirit, that is inspired your word, take it and speak to us and challenge us and draw us in response. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you take your seats? Well, once Albert Einstein was on an airplane and seated next to him is an Indian student. So they said, right, Einstein said to him, you know, young man, right, since this flight is going to last 6-7 hours, why don't we play a game together? Well, the young Indian said, it depends what game. Albert Einstein said, let's do a Q&A, question and answer. He said, no way, you're Professor Einstein, I'm only a student. What about this? Okay, Einstein said, I ask you a question. If you can't answer my question, okay, what happens is that I give you $5. But if you ask me a question, I cannot answer your question, I pay you $500. What about that? Oh, the Indians are very smart. It says, $500, I only need to pay him $5. If I answer one of 100 questions, I will have broken even like this. Okay. Well, Einstein said, I will start, all right? Because I'm going to pay you $500, I can't answer your question. Well, Einstein said, what's the distance between the earth and the moon? Okay. And the Indian said, yeah, I know. I studied this in physics and form four. America's sec four, sec three, whatever. I know. And he was thinking and scratching his head. It is 200. How many of you know the answer? Can I see your hands? Hey, no one. Hey, what do you study in your physics or whatever was in your science in school? So he's scratching his head. He said, it's something over 200,000 miles. Actually, okay, the moon moves around sun in an ellipse, all right? So the average distance, you're scratching his head, over 200,000. Einstein, what is it exactly? Couldn't give him the answer, all right? And so what happens is that he paid Einstein, okay, $5. And then Einstein said, your turn, young man. And the young engineer said, okay, Professor Einstein, what climbs up the tree with three legs and comes down with four legs? Einstein thought to himself, my goodness, thought of all the algorithms he could think about. And finally, he said, come on. Okay, Einstein said, my goodness, I don't know the answer. And pay him $500. Okay, then came Einstein's turn. Student said, sir, your turn now. Einstein said, okay, my turn up. But before I ask you, okay, the question, by the way, what climbs up with three legs and comes down with four? The Indian student gave him $5 more, okay? And he said, the game is over. All right? Moral story, don't fool around Indian students. They're all very clever. Amen, isn't it? All right? How many of you, you want more freedom and power in living? Can I see your hands? Wow. Looks like many of you are not interested. Okay. All right, let me close in prayer and send you back home. Maybe. How many of you, you have been hurt at least once in your life? At least once in your life. Can I see your hands? You have been hurt at least, hurt or wounded by someone. At least one. Can I see your hands? Okay. So few hands. Hey, you're in church. You cannot tell lies, you know. Is that okay? All right. How many of you? All right, you have been hurt at least once in your life. Can I see your hands? Okay. Well, if your hand is not up, you're almost like Jesus. Never hurt at all. Will never be hurt at all. God bless you. Isn't the reality is we get hurt. Amen. How many of us get hurt all the time? Now, don't put up your hands. Isn't it? Now, friends, we get hurt. Isn't it? All right. And we'll continue to get hurt. That's the reality of life and living. The hurts, wounds, and pains is something that nobody runs away from. Isn't it? Right? However young we are, however old we are. I come across young teenagers, 11, 12, 13, very angry with the father and mother. God or not? Maybe it doesn't happen here, okay, in Cathedral Church here. But it happens all the time, isn't it? Sadly, tragically, okay? In fact, for example, this man, he was so angry with the father for how long? 40 years. And when the father died, he was a student in England. When the father died, he went to the pub, drank himself crazy. All right? Why do you do that? I asked him, maybe to celebrate my father's death because he's hurt me so deeply for 40 years. Imagine, friends, he harbored this wound and pain in his life for 40 years. And friends, can I say, hurts, wounds, and pains, emotional hurts, wounds, and pains can go deeper than when we are cut physically. Amen? As in, if you're cut physically, at most 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months or so, it will be healed. But friends, emotional wounds can last years, if not even decades. And it's sad and it's tragic and there's reality. But more than friends, hurts, wounds, and pains are a real part of life and living. Whatever your age, can be young, can be not so young, whatever age, it happens to us all the time. The result is that it produces what? It produces anger, resentment, hatred, and bitterness. Isn't we're very angry, right? We want to take revenge, am I right? How many of you, you love Jackie Chan movies? Can I see your hands? How many of you? Wow, God bless you. Okay, I asked this question in Moscow, Russia, in a church of 5,000, I preached in. I said, how many of you know Jackie Chan? Practically every hand went up. I preached in Sao Paulo in Brazil. I said, how many of you know Jackie Chan? Also, okay, some 5,000 hands went up. They all love Jackie Chan. You know why? Because in Chinese movies, there's kung fu, sword fighting films all the time, am I right? Why? Because if you hurt me, if I cannot take care of you, you know what I do? I bring all my brothers on to take care of you. And if all my brothers still cannot, I bring all my uncles along. Am I right? That's why you find a Chinese kung fu sword, there's all kinds of bao chowing all the time taking place. Why? It's a desire to revenge, the desire to hit back, the desire, as said, to square with a person who has hurt you. That's a reality. Give one example. There's a church I preach in. At the end, I make an altar call. A senior lady came up together with a grown-up daughter. I said, how can I pray for you? The senior lady said, pray for my husband, her father. I said, how can I pray? He's such an angry man. I said, really? I'm sorry to hear about that. So I said to her, why don't you take my message tip I just preached, take it back and let your husband listen. You know what she said to me? If I take it back for my husband, he will kill me. Wow, there are a lot of killers around. Okay, just be very careful about this. But sadly, you know, some people, the older they get, the more angry they become, more bitter in life, isn't it? What a terrible way to end life. And that's a reality. I've come across teenagers, young teenagers, very, very angry with their father. Why? Because their father took away their handphone. Am I right? Am I right now? Okay? There is one thing you cannot take away from young people. You can take away everything, including food, whatever. Okay? But handphone cannot. Am I right? Hello? Hey, true or not? Am I speaking? Are you real or not? Singaporeans, okay? Right now, you can take everything but except the handphone. Am I right? Amen. Listen, that's the reality. So angry, okay? Like they want to kill the father. How sad and tragic. And that's a reality, isn't it? All right? That we all face like this. And nobody runs away from it, friends. Sadly, tragically. What's the answer? What's the solution when it hurts, wounds, and pains in our life? All right? What's the solution for us? Okay? The answer before that. Now, hurts, wounds, and pains is always about something that has happened in the past. Am I right? Something that's happened in the past. That's why we're hurt, we're wounded, we're in pain. Okay? But, friends, you know what? If we harbor this in our heart, if we keep this in our heart, what happens to us? The past, which is just hurts, wounds, and pains, the past has imprisoned our present and keep us from living into the future. Like this man who's such an angry man, a senior man who's so angry, what happens? His past, right? His anger, bitterness, because something has happened in the past. And look at him. His past has imprisoned him in the present and kept him from living in the future. He is caught up with his anger, bitterness from day to day. What an unnice person to be with, even worse to live with. Am I right? But sadly, some people end up like that, isn't it? What a tragedy. What a shame, like this. You know what happens? Okay? But the wonderful thing is this, friends. Wonderful thing is that, what is the answer for it all? And the answer for it all is really at the heart of it. Okay, the Christian message. What is the Christian message? Because at the heart of the Christian message is a message of forgiveness. Isn't it? It's a message of forgiveness that you and I know about. No other faith teaches about this except the Christian faith. All right? Okay, why is it we must forgive? At least four reasons we find in Scripture. All right? What are they? Firstly, friends, you notice it's a command of the Word of God, isn't it? It's a command of Scripture. How does Scripture command us? Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Come, let's read aloud together. Come. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's a clear command of Scripture to forgive as the Lord in Christ has forgiven us, isn't it? You and I, who seek to honor God, who seek to obey God's word, surely when God commands us, you and I want to obey. Can a good amen for that, isn't it? It's a command of Scripture, firstly. Not only, friends, it's a command of Scripture. Secondly, you notice, it's an example of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus hanging on the cross, what did Jesus say? Luke 23, right, verse 34. Come, let's read together. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You see, hanging on the cross, friends, Jesus hanging on the cross for no sins of his own, for your sin, my sin, sin of the whole world, isn't it? Hanging on the cross, what did Jesus pray? How did Jesus pray to the Father? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, isn't it? Now, if you and I were to hang on the cross, what would you say? What would I say? I would say, you know what? To God the Father, okay? Father, kau tim di o. Father, post you or kau kau. Am I right or not? Okay? Not just post you the all. Oh, not take revenge. Take revenge at cow cow. Okay? Really, really. Am I right or not? That's what we would do right now. Especially when you put on the cross for no sin of your own. Isn't it? Your father, deal with them nicely and properly like that. But you know this, friends? Jesus did not. What an amazing example, isn't it? What grace, what mercy, what love for all of us. They're hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them. That's why, friends, the Christian message is so powerful. It's a message of hope. You just came from celebration of hope, am I right? So powerful for you and I to know that in Jesus, friends, who has offered forgiveness, there is hope for you and I, hope for all of us in the world. Can a good amen for that? You see? But there's a third reason. The third reason is otherwise we cannot come to God in prayer. Why is this the case? Because Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, this is what we read. Come, let's read again what it says here. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Now, I prefer the Luke's version of it. Because in Luke's version of it, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Which is also, right, the prayer that you all pray, isn't it? Right, the Lord's prayer like this, all right? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So you notice, friends, here, Jesus in teaching us the Lord's prayer, or sometimes called the family prayer. See, when we come to God, say, Father, forgive us of our sins. Am I right? We do that. See? But when we ask God to forgive our sins, what must we do? On the other hand, we must be willing to forgive those who sin against us. You notice? This is what Jesus says. And therefore, friends, you know what? If we're unwilling to forgive those who sin against us, we cannot ask God to forgive us of our sins. You realize that? The two must counterbalance each other. And so therefore, when we're unwilling to forgive people, we have no right to ask God for forgiveness. And therefore, what does it mean? We have no right to come to God in prayer. Am I right? Simple as that, isn't it? All right? And that's scary, isn't it? That if we're unwilling to forgive, it forfeits you and I the right to come to God in prayer. Because right, Jesus says, forgive us, Father, forgive me my sins, as I forgive those who sin against me, like that. But there's a fourth reason. What is the fourth reason? Because otherwise, we cannot know God's forgiveness. We will not know the Father's forgiveness. Why? Because verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6, because the Lord's Prayer ends off in verse 13. But verses 14 and 15 are equally important. Amen? All right, many times we missed it. What does it say? Come, let's read together. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Isn't it scary? That if we're unwilling to forgive those who sin against us, Jesus is saying, neither will we know the Father's forgiveness. Frightening, isn't it? And yet there's a truth of the matter. All right? And I trust, with these four reasons, I trust we are reasonably convinced that you and I must forgive. Amen? But maybe you say, okay, Pastor Dan, I agree. Okay, must forgive. But tell me, how many times must I forgive? How many of you struggle with that? How many of you are willing to forgive people up to three times? Can I see your hands? Up to three times. Okay, only two. More than three times, see your hands. So few. Hey, the rest of you, what happened? Not willing to forgive a single time, is that right? Hey, you're in church, cannot tell lies, okay? Is that right? Okay, all right, let me rewind. How many willing to forgive up to three times, see your hands? Up to three times. Oh, okay. More than three times, see your hands. Wow, God bless you all. Wonderful Singaporeans. Big, wonderful, generous heart. Going to forgive every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Akau. Everybody, all forgive them all. This is great. This is wonderful, okay? Praise God for that. Friends, can I say, this isn't the problem of yours and mine. It is equally the problem of Apostle Peter. You know that? As to how many times must we forgive? Why? Because the Bible records this for us. About Peter coming to Jesus. What did Peter say to Jesus here in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22? All right, come, let's read together. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times, he answered. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. I know in some versions it's 70 times seven, but that's not matter, whether it's 77 or 70 times seven, okay? Now, what does Jesus mean? To forgive someone, not seven times, but 77 times. What does Jesus mean? All right? Not seven, but 77. Now, you and I know, and believe you're well taught here, seven in the Bible is a number of perfection. Am I right? Seven represents perfection. But what about 77? What about 77? 77 is not this, okay? All right? Hear me carefully. When Jesus said, forgive someone 77, it is not this. And which is this? If someone hurt you, you say to your guy, you watch out. You got 76 times left, okay? All right? And if you hurt you a second time, you say, watch out, you got 75 times left. Okay? This is not what Jesus meant. Okay? Well, 7 is a perfect number. 77 means what? To forgive again and again and again and again. You know that? All right? To forgive without keeping score of the numbers. Am I right? How many of us will confess to God more than 77 times? Can I see your hands? More than 77. Eh, be honest, okay? Is it okay? More than 77. See your hands. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Pastor Harley, full of sinners in your church. Okay? I need to pray for all of you. Don't worry. My hand is also up. Is it okay? And let's be honest, isn't it? We confess to God. Now, have we ever heard from God? One day when we confess to him, God will say from heaven, my son, today your quota is up. 77 already. From tomorrow onwards, no more forgiveness. Has anyone heard from God like this? Isn't it? You don't, isn't it? Right or not? God never keeps count. He never keeps a quota as to how many. Now, oh, your limit is up, isn't it? When we, of course, our confession must always be sincere and honest. Amen? Isn't it? In spite of the fact, we want to really live a good life, a wonderful life, all right? Seeking to really honor God. Sometimes we make mistakes, isn't it? You know, things we say, things we do, whatever, isn't it? Sometimes we do, isn't it? All right? And when we confess to Him, God will never say, my son or my daughter, today your quota is up. He will forgive us. Of course, when we say we confess sincerely, isn't it? God will forgive us again and again. That's the reality of it. And that's what, friends, forgiving 77 times or 70 times 7 mean. All right? It means not keeping a score. It means willing to forgive. That is hard, very painful, isn't it? It is not just, friends, why we must forgive. How many times we must forgive. More importantly, thirdly, more importantly, what happens to us, all right, when we forgive. That's critical. That's most important. That's what the Bible teaches about this. All right? That's why Jesus not only teaches about it, He models it for us. But friends, can I say, forgiveness here is a choice. God will never force us to forgive. You know that? God will never say to, because my son, my daughter, you're such a mature person, all right, shame on you if you don't forgive. You know, God will never. You know that? All right? Even for a pastor, God will never say, shame on you, a pastor, how come you don't forgive? He will never. He leaves it to you and I. You know, forgiveness is a choice. All right? When we choose to forgive, what happens? On the other hand, when we choose not to forgive, something else happens. All right? Forgiveness is a choice. What happens when we choose to forgive? Three things happen to us. What are they? Firstly, friends, it sets me free. Not only we are set free, secondly, it sets the other person free. What do I mean? Let me explain. Okay? Supposing someone has hurt you, you have not forgiven that person. What are you saying in your heart to that person? If you have not forgiven that person, you are saying to that person, my friend, I'm not prepared to let you go. We got a score to settle. Am I right? Until that score is settled, I'm not prepared to let you go. What are we doing? What are you doing? You're holding on to that person and you are caging that person in the prison of your heart. You know that? That's what you're doing. That's what we are doing. When we're unwilling to forgive, we're saying to that person, my friend, we got a score to settle. Until the score is settled, I'm not prepared to let you go. It means I'm holding on to that person and imprisoning that person in the cage of my heart. What has happened? I'm not free because every time I see him or think about the incident, what happens on the inside? Something negative happens in us. Am I right? What does it show? It shows that we ourselves are in prison. We are not free. But not only that, when we are unwilling to forgive that person, we are holding on to that person and we are imprisoning that person in the cage of our heart. So that not only we are not free, that guy is not free as well. And so what has happened, friends? One unforgiveness results in two prisoners. You're not free and the guy is not free. And friends, can I say to you this? There are more prisoners walking the streets of Singapore than all the prisoners in Changi prison put together. Hello, all quiet now. Am I right? There are many hurt and wounded people all across Singapore, all across Malaysia, all over the world. In every country, tons of wounded people, angry, upset, bitter people all over the place. They may look free, they may even walk free, but if they're honest with themselves, they are not free. And as I say, friends, there are more prisoners walking the streets of Singapore than all the prisoners in Changi prison put together. That's a reality, all right? In so many families, there's so much brokenness. Fighting with one another amongst brothers and sisters, uncles and aunties, not talking to each other. Not uncommon, isn't it? And sometimes not talking to each other for years. Not just a few days, a few weeks, for years. Isn't it? It is like this man, coming from a very wealthy family. And in the division of property and assets and wealth amongst brothers, he was played out. All right, he was not given his fair share. You know what happens to him? He's so angry with the rest of his siblings. He said, this particular one especially, who's a key guy manipulating everything, if I see him, one day I'm going to kill him. Oh, it's a very dangerous city to come to. People kill one another one in this city. That's a reality, isn't it? There's so much brokenness, woundedness, all right, in so many places. All right, it is not just with Asians. I come across this in Western societies. So much brokenness. This man, for example, right, put his hand up for prayer at the end. I said, what's the matter with you? Because he's the executive pastor of a church here in Singapore. I said, what happened to you? My brother, back in the United States, so angry with my father, going to kill him. And he had to stand on behalf of the brother to pray for him and pray for the father. Like, irrespective, friends, of our social, ethnic, religious backgrounds, many, many are crippled, wounded, in prison, and walk without freedom or power whatsoever. But friends, that's why Jesus has come, isn't it? That through his death on the cross and extending forgiveness, you and I can be set free. You and I can walk out in a wonderful manner and experience the freedom, the peace, and the joy of the Lord. So friends, you know, when we choose to forgive, what happens? It sets you free, but it also sets the other person free. Why? Because when you choose to forgive that person, you are basically saying to that person in the heart, I want to let you go. I'm tired of holding you on. And in releasing that person, what happens? You, in the process, release yourself. That's the reality. Friends, and so when we choose to forgive, friends, it sets me free, it sets the other person free, and there's a third wonderful result that comes up from it. What is the third wonderful one? There is healing. Isn't it? There is wonderful healing. Why? Because James 5, verse 16 says this. Come, let's read together. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You see, we're told to confess our sins to each and pray for each other. What happens when we pray, confess and pray? God brings healing, isn't it? It is like, okay, two friends who have hurt each other come before each other, confess to each other, and come, let's pray. What happens? God brings healing. In the process, they are bound closer to each other. Am I right? It could be also even between a husband and wife, hurting each other, isn't it? And they're willing to humble themselves and come and kneel before God in confession to each other and also pray for each other. God, in his mercies, bring healing. They're drawn closer to each other. That's the reality of it. Nobody runs away from, friends. And that's the reason why, friends, this message of forgiveness in the Christian faith is so powerful that the world needs. That the heart of the Christian message is the message of forgiveness. That only Jesus can deliver us and set us free and heal us from pains, woundedness, frustration, anger, bitterness, hatred, resentment, so that we can walk free in a wonderful manner for all of us, friends. And that's the reality of it all for you and I. See? But friends, some people sometimes might say, maybe you might say, might have been wounded, you might say, but Lord, it is hard to forgive. You don't know how deep the wound has been. I come across people like this, Pastor, you don't understand. The wound has gone deep, very deep. It's been there for years. I said, true. Maybe it's true. I recognize that, right? And so for people who say the wound is so deep, it's impossible to forgive, you know what I do? I'll take them to the foot of the cross. I say, can I take you to the foot of the cross? I want you now to look at Jesus. Let's together look at Jesus. What he suffered, what he went through on the cross. I think the pain that Jesus went through on the cross is no comparison to our pain. Amen? Our pain has no comparison whatsoever to the pain of Jesus on the cross. It's excruciating, isn't it? All right? Your pain, my pain, how deep cannot be compared with the pain of Jesus on the cross, honestly. And so therefore, for people who say, I cannot forgive, they have not fully appreciated and appropriated fully the death of Christ on the cross, isn't it? And that's what you and I must do. Come to the cross of Jesus and Lord Jesus, forgive me. I've been harboring this, thinking that I've got the right to harbor it. But in harboring it, it has imprisoned me. It has crippled me. And no wonder today I live without power and freedom, the way I should be living, with joy, with celebration, and grace of God like this, isn't it? But there's one more thing, friends. The one more thing is that sometimes you hear people say, forgive and forget. God or not? Isn't it? Quite often, people say, forgive and forget. Friends, can I say, it's unbiblical. It's not from Scripture. Scripture is not forgive and forget. All right? Scripture is forgive and forbear. And forbear is not just trying to tahan that guy until he dies or I die, then it's all over. That's not forbearance. The Bible talks, forbear each other, what? In love. Am I right? It is in love. It's not trying to tahan that guy. We're trying to stand that guy until he dies, then it's all over. No, no, no. It's forbearance in love. Now, why is it forgive and forget is not biblical? Let's be honest. You have been hurt, especially hurt deeply. You remember everything, right or not? You remember even the way the guy looks at you. You even remember the hand gesture like that. You remember every bit, right? No. It's like this senior pastor of a big church. All right. As I was teaching something along these lines in a leadership course, he said, "My goodness, Pastor Daniel, I've been having this problem, struggling with this unforgiveness, as it were, for 30 years. Because why people have been telling forgive and forgive, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. I could never forget. I've been holding this on, remembering this for 30 years. And that day when I prayed for him to set him free, he said, "My goodness, for once and for all, I know forgive and forget is not biblical, but it's forgive and forbear. And it's not just forbear, forbearing in love." Hello? That's why Jesus could say to us, forgive your enemy and pray for your enemy. Am I right? How can you pray for your enemy if you're not genuinely forgiven? Am I right? It's impossible to pray. Your prayer will not be sincere prayer. Your prayer will not be the best for that person. Isn't it? We can forgive, we can pray because why Jesus tells us to forgive our enemies and pray for them. Like this, isn't it? And so, friends, you know, the other thing about if we say forgive and forget, then we shouldn't be coming to the Bible. Because why? The Bible is full of the sins of the people who have done wrong in the past. Am I right or not? So therefore, when we come to the Bible, what we are constantly made to remember all the wrongs of other people, like adultery of King David. Am I right or not? Then we shouldn't be coming to read the Bible if we're supposed to forgive and forget. In fact, the Bible tells us to remember. Hello? Why do we remember the sins of the people in the past? So that you and I learn. So that you and I don't make the same mistakes as they made. Hello, are you there? So that we grow in wisdom, insights, and understanding. So we don't repeat the same thing, isn't it? There are many broken noses in the Bible. Learn all the mistakes of all the broken noses of the people and keep your one and only nice nose. Hello? Looks like you're not keen to keep your nice one little nose, isn't it? Yeah, keep your wonderful nose and learn from all the broken noses of the Bible. That's the purpose of Scripture. Not to forget, to remember, we learn from it so that we don't make the same mistakes, isn't it? And that's very important for us, okay, like this. One final thing. How do I know I've really forgiven that person? You know, sometimes, okay, I might have hurt that guy. I might have hurt that guy very deeply. And then I say, hey, forgive you, lah, just like that. Now, sometimes you wonder, am I right? That guy says so, like, hey, I forgive you, just over already. But you know you hurt that guy deeply and badly. All right? So the point is how do I know I've really forgiven that person? Truly forgiven that person? What is the test? The test is this. Okay, let me illustrate by an example. So you got a cut on your hand. All right? If you got a cut on your hand, okay, the wound, it bleeds. But after a while, after a few days, a few weeks, or maybe even a few months, after it heals, am I right? Hey, hello? Heals or not? Hey, are you human beings, all of you here? Human beings, am I right? Okay, the wound will heal, am I right or not? Hello, isn't it? All right, when the wound has healed, what is the test? The wound has really completely healed, totally healed. What's the test? You rub hard over the scar. There's no pain. Okay, you rub hard over the scar, there's no pain. All right, but if it's not completely fully healed, you rub a little bit, it's painful. Am I right now? It's painful. It means it's not been totally healed. But it's been totally healed, you can rub very hard over it. No pain at all. But the scar is there. It's okay. Because the scar reminds you of your foolishness, or mistakes you make, or other people's mistakes were inflicted upon you. But it's okay. You learn from it so you don't repeat the same. Hello, are you there? So that's a test. And so therefore, how does it play out? It plays out like this. That person who has hurt you, if you're really forgiving that person, really genuinely, sincerely forgiving that person, every time you see that person, even think about the incident, the test is this. Is there any more pain in your heart? Is there any more pain in your heart? If there's a slightest pain, a slightest twitch, it means you have not dealt with it yet. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come and ask Jesus to forgive me. I still harbor this. I still have this problem. And allow the love of God through Jesus to come in, to bring healing to you. Hello, are you there, isn't it? It happens to us all the time. Maybe a breakup of your relationship. You have been betrayed in a relationship. You're so angry with that person. And as a result sometimes of that betrayal, you say, I cannot trust any man anymore as a woman. Or sometimes as a man, sometimes even I cannot trust any woman anymore. How sad, how tragic, isn't it? And this is where, friends, God has to come in and do a deep work so that he releases his grace, his mercy, his love, his healing, so that we can be set free, so we can move on. So that when we think about the incident or see that person, there's no more pain left. Why? Because you're really released full and total forgiveness. Amen. Let me close with this example. I was preaching in a church in London some years ago. And at the end of my message, I gave an altar call. All right? I said, those like to be prayed for. All right? Those like to be prayed for and receive healing from the Lord. Would you raise up your hand? All right? I'd like to pray for you. Right at the back last row, there's a lady who raised up her hand. And she raised up her hand like this. More like a finger rather than a hand. So I said, anyway, those who raised up their hands, will you come right to the front line up here? We're going to pray for you. And thank God, I saw the lady with a finger like this. She came up for prayer as well. After the prayer, as she was on the way out, the senior pastor of the church pulled me aside and said to me, "Sir Daniel, the lady just on the way out, she's originally from Romania when she was growing up. The father and mother used to have differences, quarrels, fights. It became violent. And the father would beat up the mother. And she also receiving end of all the vitriol and the violence. She grew up very angry with the father. Later, the father divorced the mother. But the mother is no longer in a right frame of mind, a good frame of mind, took care of her daughter and just left it with her husband. And so poor girl has to live with her father, that kind of man. Later, the father fell in love, remarried. But sadly, friends, not long after, the marriage just went downhill. Quarrels, fights became violent again. And that girl, growing up in that kind of environment, said to herself in her heart, "One day, when I grow up, I will make sure my father gets back all that he deserves. I will make sure I will take it back on my father." But friends, you know what? That particular Sunday afternoon in a church in London, England, where she was prayed for, she said this, "For the first time in my life, all the hatred, anger, bitterness, all the burdens I carried all these years were rolled away from my shoulders. And for once, I walked from this place free and freed at last." Friends, that's what God wants to do for every one of us. Let me close with one more. Preaching in a big church in Singapore. At the end of the service, a number of people line up to want to see me. The last man who saw me, when everybody has left, came up to me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Pastor Daniel, thank you so much for your message. Really appreciate that." And with tears in his eyes, he said to me, "This Pastor Daniel, tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I'm going back to my lawyer's office. I'm going to tell my lawyer, could you please tear up the divorce papers that I've instituted against my wife? Tear it up. Forget about it." You know, friends, as a senior pastor was taking me to his car to go out for lunch, I saw him walking to his car as the last person out of church. And you know, friends, as he was walking towards his car, I could see he drives a very nice car, all right. Friends, can I say, driving a nice car, holding a great job, living in a fantastic neighborhood, is no indication things are okay on the inside. That's what God wants to do for all of us, friends. Irrespective of our background, jobs we hold, social position we are in, house we live in, cars we drive, jobs we have, companies we own, irrespective of all these, friends, we can be crippled on the inside. Irrespective of our background, irrespective of our age, irrespective of which nation we come from, if we don't handle this correct, no wonder some people, no power, no freedom to live. Friends, I believe today is a day of freedom for every one of us this afternoon. I believe God wants to release his grace, touch us, set us free from the brokenness in our lives, from the wounds and hurts and pains and bitterness, anger, resentment that might have been with us for sometimes years. Friends, today is a day of freedom, a day of release, a day of breakthrough, a day of hope, a day you can walk from this place, never the same again. Amen.